Hey Ryan, can we watch something happy now?
This is Skinamarink.
In this house. In this house.
Hello and welcome to Bela Lugosi's Undead. I'm AJ.
And I'm Spooky Ryan.
And today we are talking about Skinamarink. In Woo. This house. In this house. It was a nice little indie hit to kick off 2023. Because, yeah, we're back. We're back, guys. We are jumping Woo. Back into the podcast game. We finished up season one last year with Halloween. And we wanted to make sure that we got back into it because this year is already rocking.
Yeah.
I mean, like, 2023 kicking off with as many good horror movies as it has is pretty amazing when you think about it. And I think Skinamarink...
Yeah, I hope we continue on from, like, last year. Last year was incredible.
Yeah, and we will certainly be... don't worry, we'll come back and we'll talk about The Outwaters. We'll talk about... We're definitely going to, at some point, talk about Megan. I think we're going to hold off for that a little bit closer to HHN because that seems to be in the cards for us there. But Skinamarink was a micro-budget hit that really broke through in ways that I was not expecting.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you really liked it. I know we'll talk about it in all these different things, but the biggest thing for me is, like, my ADHD, I just couldn't do it. I tried, like, three times to get through it, and I just, like, couldn't do it. But I want to hear your perspective on it because... I don't know, a lot of people were really upset that they couldn't do it, and I just think that it's not for them. Do you know what I mean?
100%.
Like, I don't understand, like, why they're just like, it was horrible, they wanted to scare you, and all these sort of things. I'm like, yeah, they were trying something different and new, and it wasn't for you, that's okay. Like, well, we don't have to hate people that like it. I just want to know why you liked it.
Okay, so for me, the thing is, I personally... like to feel completely uneasy in my horror movies. And if you are able to create that sense of dread, it really is effective for me. I think I also personally, just like being open and honest, I'm starting to move towards the age where I'm excited to have kids in the future.
Yeah.
And imagining a world where I could not protect my children, and specifically in this case, it seems like the parents are dead.
Yeah.
And we'll get more into that, because there's a lot of questions about that aspect of it. It was, like, really upsetting to me to watch two children wander in the dark, unable to take care of themselves and be tortured by a monster for almost 2 hours. Yeah. I think that there's a fair point to be had that this movie is maybe a little long for what it's trying to do. Obviously, it could have been a short and been super effective. But,
oh, yeah. It would have been great as a short, for sure.
Right. But I also think that it's a big swing to go ahead and put this into a feature-length film. The closest I've ever felt to a movie like this one is Blair Witch, the first time I watched it.
Yeah.
And so, in that regard, obviously it's a found footage. There's a lot of similarities in that front. But just more how unsettling it was, especially watching it alone at night. Mm-hmm. On a laptop, I think may have been a better way of watching it than in a theater, because I could understand people getting very bored in a theater. But at the same time, having the ability to lock into this movie and just be forced to live in its energy.
Yeah, I think I think I would have done better actually in a theater, because I'm expecting to sit there and just experience it. Whereas at home, it's like I'm a quick reach away from my phone.
It's a good point.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's a good point. And by the way, when we're talking about this movie being like extremely successful, this movie made about $2 million at the box office. So
yeah,
it was
but how
not
much did it cost, though?
$15,000.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's the thing, right? That's the thing, is that it cost like a down payment on a house to shoot a movie that made $2 million.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think the other things that are disturbing about this movie, it makes it hard to connect to for some people, is you never see the faces of these children.
Yeah.
So you just hear just random voices – and we see their perspectives. And I think those things also do not make it easy to live in this thing.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think that's definitely interesting, but I also think that it provides something unique and different too. Right? And I like that it's not really like a found footage. It's like, you know what I mean? It's kind of like from a perspective of some sort of like haunting being that's like watching over these children. You know what I mean? And just, it's interesting.
Yeah, it's very funny you mention that, because the movie that we have covered in the past that really felt like it was an influence on this film, if I had known that they didn't like come out about the same time, was He's Watching.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna.
Like,
yeah,
exactly. I feel like that's actually a really good double feature.
Yeah.
In terms of, you've got one side of this where it is relatively wealthy kids in a house.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we see the camera through their eyes. In this case, it's two little children who seem to be like basically toddlers.
Yeah.
Somehow holding onto a camera. And then there's just like this, yeah, I agree with you about the entity seemingly controlling the camera at any given time.
Yeah, it was, I mean, I loved the artistry of it. Mm-hmm. Like when I was able to focus on it, I did love that, like, the visuals were very like horror beautiful, mm-hmm. if that makes sense.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And if I had the focus energy to like watch it, I wonder if certain images were related to what was going on in the scenes in a way that was meaningful.
So the one that stands out to me is the time when we're watching, at one point in time, he's watching a cartoon, like the children watching a cartoon, and there's the rabbit that keeps disappearing itself.
Yeah.
And that like short little clip just like really bothered me.
Mm-hmm.
Just like the fact that we had to keep rewatching and rewatching and rewatching, and each time I watched it, I felt more unease.
Mm.
I also think that what was interesting about this is like a real, seemingly malevolent. Thank you. being that is hunting these children, and something about that just completely flipped me out.
Yeah.
That the scene to me that really stood out and really locked me into focus,
mm-hmm.
was when the little girl goes upstairs,
mm-hmm.
and she's like, "Dad, what's going on?" And like the dad's talking to her and tells her to look under the bed.
Yeah.
And then when she turns the camera back up, she doesn't see anything under the bed, but when she turns the camera back up, the dad is gone, and all of a sudden the mom is on the other side of the house.
Oof.
Or on the other side of the room.
Yeah.
And it just like sent an absolute, even as I'm talking about this, it's sending goosebumps up my body.
Wow.
Like, it was like one of those scenes that I was like, woo. That is, I don't know why it was so visually affecting to me, but it just was.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, I really wish I could have gotten through more. I got to the mm-hmm. scene where the dead-eyed woman was standing there. Maybe it was the mother.
I believe it was the daughter. Actually,
the daughter.
Like, I think it's the only time we actually see like a face in the movie.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. it's because the creature has, like, ripped out her eyes.
Yeah. And that was, like, the only... That's as far as I got, and I was just like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I just wish I had more to say on the movie in general. It just... I'm guessing more so in this sort of episode, just sort of talking about, like, what it is that drew you in.
Yeah. Well, so I think that the other big thing is the relationship that we have as horror fans to found footage. I think that's like really where we need to discuss, because I think that the genre has been both played out and also remains like extremely powerful if used correctly. But the problem is how you use it correctly is very much in the eye of the beholder.
Yeah.
Like what would you say are some of your favorite found footage movies?
I am a huge fan of found footage. The VHS movies I love. What's that one zombie movie? Quarantined? The original one.
Yeah, the original one is Wreck, but the one that came out in America is Quarantine.
Right. I didn't see the original, but Quarantine, I probably would love Wreck, but like Quarantine was very good.
You know what's funny is I remember watching that movie with you, Quarantine.
Yes, that's right. Redbox.
Yeah, we definitely like Redbox or Blockbuster or something. But right. I remember that was one of the first times I ever really like watched a horror movie, and that movie freaked me the fuck out.
Yeah.
And then I watched Wreck, and I do think Wreck is a better made movie, but because I experienced quarantine first, I do have some more strong feelings towards it, because it was basically like a shot-for-shot remake, just in English.
Oh, good. Okay, that's awesome. Yeah, I mean, the second one wasn't as good. The Quarantine 2, where they were, like, stuck on the plane, was not as good. But the idea... Yeah, the idea... I mean, there's so many implicit information in that movie where there's, like, this low-income apartment where it's, like, people struggling. And in the American version, in the New York, I think, but in the UK, probably London. You know what I mean? And they, like, quarantine them in. And there's all this implicit information about, like... You know, kind of like a classist sort of thing. Like, would they have done this in a $1 million high rise? Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and I mean, the only people who would ask that question seem to be Evil Dead.
Yeah, sure.
But no, it's true, though, that I think that there's a lot you can say subtextually in a found footage movie.
Yeah.
That is not necessarily has to be, like, openly spoken, because you can just kind of live in the moment, and then you start to put pieces together. And I think that's what made Blair Witch such an interesting endeavor when it came out, beyond being just so fucking scary.
Yeah.
is the fact that they were able to just give you that sensation of, I am lost in the woods, and what do I do?
Yeah.
And once you're lost, like, everybody has felt that in some fashion, if you've ever gone camping.
Yeah.
And then there, to think that there's something hunting you in the darkness is just an extra, just, like, frightening idea. Yeah. And that's why I think found footage can be such a powerful, subgenre, but it is also very interesting to see, like, the dichotomy of how it's used. Did you end up seeing Deadstream this last year?
Yes.
So let's kind of, like, fold that one into this conversation, because I think
that's
a good, like, counter to Skinamarink, where Skinamarink is, like, very experimental and chill, versus Deadstream, which is just, like, coming at you 1,000 miles a minute. And do you want to give a quick, like, description of what Deadstream is, Ryan?
Yeah, so Deadstream is a guy, he's like a YouTuber in this, like, it's mostly for, like, children, young adults, and he's got this, like, silly voice he uses, and he's doing all these extreme pranks and extreme videos and really trying to scare himself, and he ends up in a house that is supposedly really extremely haunted, and... It turns out it is.
It turns out it extremely is.
Yeah, it extremely is. So, and then you learn, like, there's all this, like, subtext. The cool thing about that one is there's all this, like, subtext about, like, you know, like, these new internet personalities and whether they should apologize or not apologize and whether they should get canceled and not get canceled and all these things that are going on with these streamers that I'm wondering if it was more our generation that had all these, like, controversies, or are they still going on? I'm not...
It's still ongoing. YouTubers seem to be getting in trouble every week, getting quote-unquote canceled every week, but then also not getting canceled. Right. Like, obviously, like, the big one is Mr. Beast, right?
Okay.
The guy continually does things that he thinks are good for people, and then sometimes people get offended by it. Okay. Sometimes I actually, like, truly wonder why people get offended by the things that he does.
Okay.
Like a few weeks ago, he got in trouble for, like, helping blind people have, like, a surgery so they could see again. And I'm like, I don't know if this is a bad thing, guys. But at the same time, he also recreated the Squid Game and, like, did it for fun. And I'm like, that's not the point of Squid Game at all. I don't necessarily want to cancel the dude. I mean, he does his thing, whatever. He's branding. But that is a very similar idea, that this guy is almost like a PewDiePie or Mr. Beast, and he's putting himself in a haunted house.
Yeah.
I think that this guy, Joseph Winter, who's the star of Deadstream and is also the director with his wife, Vanessa Winter, they're a really interesting duo to watch. Yeah. In found footage specifically, because not only do they have Deadstream, but they also contributed one of the segments to VHS 99, which was also scary as fuck.
Which segment?
They're the one that's like the New Year's Eve, and they do like the seance, and they get sent to the alternate dimension.
Yes.
So I think that they're an interesting voice to watch in this area, because they clearly understand how to keep the found footage fresh.
Yeah.
And also extremely entertaining.
Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, I mean, I loved VHS 99. I thought it was so cool, especially because, mm-hmm. like, I don't know, they're starting to make movies that are about, like, my childhood early, right. like, adolescence. Like,
yeah, I thought that the Medusa short is definitely very strong.
Yes, I like that one.
I think the one where it's, like, the sorority prank that they buried
in yes.
the that was the one that, like, really freaked me out, personally.
That was incredible. I mean, I hated the ending, but yes, I love...
Yes, I agree the ending is weak.
Yeah, but I loved the entire premise. It was awesome. And I just, like, just purely from, like, an alternative person's point of view, like, I really liked the band one, too. I thought that one was kind of cool as fuck, so.
I have a friend in my critics group, and because I'm the person who tabulates votes,
sure.
I can't necessarily reveal who it was, but they sure. actually voted it for best song.
Wow.
Because the song, I think it's called, like, Diamonds Are Black or something like that.
Sure.
It is actually a very good punk song. Like, it's not yeah. even a joke. Like, it is legit.
Yeah. It's awesome. What is it for the Florida Critics vote, or?
Critics Association of Central Florida.
Ah, very cool. That's awesome.
It did receive votes. It did not win the award for best song, but it sure. did receive votes. So
who did win?
Want to say it was Hold My Hand from Top Gun.
Okay.
Or Natu Natu from RRR. I'm trying to remember which one it was. Sure. It was one of the two. Got it. But regardless.
Yeah. Not a lot of great songs out there this year, huh? Like, I mean, there's no, like, Encanto or something like that. Like...
Yeah, no, I mean, the Disney stuff didn't have... Well, first of all, Turning Red had a song, and they decided to not award it. So okay. That's the one I was surprised with, to be honest. Yeah. But anyway, I found footage horror movies.
Back yeah. to what we do.
So no, but so Deadstream, I think it's a great use of not only creature design, because the creatures are
yeah.
terrifying.
Yeah.
But also a use of comedy. And I think
yeah.
a lot of people already comparing it to Evil Dead as like what Evil Dead should be in 2023
sure.
are pretty on the money.
Yeah.
It's funny, I think Fright Rags is already running a sale where you can buy Deadstream merch, and it is the guy being, like, swallowed into the earth like the girl from Evil Dead.
That's incredible.
Like, it's, like, a great homage. But, I mean, like, the movie, undeniably, is playing with that idea.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, I loved the callbacks. I loved the subtext in that movie. Well, there's not really many, like, kills, but, like, all the twists and turns, too, I thought were pretty good. Like, I liked them.
Yeah, and I think that also speaks to the versatility of found footage. Because I think yep. that a part of the problem that people have with the genre when they really don't like it is that they think back to the time in, like, the mid-2000s, which, again, seemed to be your and mine's, like,
yeah.
absolute hate era of
I know.
Horror. Where
when we were supposed to be watching horror movies are so bad.
It's basically... there was, like, a push to roll out as many found footage horror movies because they were cheap to make.
Yeah.
Were popular and could make a quick buck.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking of, like, the Apollo 18.
Oh, my gosh. That's right.
Right. Or I'm thinking of, like, Chernobyl Diaries.
Yeah.
Movies that I think have an audience and people do end up liking them.
Yeah.
But they became so repetitive.
Yes.
That by the time Paranormal Activity came around.
Yeah.
It really did feel just different enough
yeah.
where it became a hit.
Yeah. Yeah, people really liked Paranormal Activity. I mean, at the time, you know, I thought it was cool, but rewatching it, I know you said when you were watching it that you really liked it, but rewatching it, I was like, okay, maybe I was just 18. Like
I like it, but I'm not going to say I think it's better than Deadstream or Skinamarink
right.
for that matter.
Right, yes. I think they were going back to that sort of Blair Witchy sort of vibe where, like, it was just sort of slow and just so, like, building and all this. That's another thing I wonder, too. Like, if Blair Witch was released today, because it was sort of the first of its kind. But, like, yes. if Blair Witch was created today, would it be as big of a movie? And it's hard to say because it sort of kicked off a genre. But
I think you can... talk about it in a couple different ways. One, I think Blair Witch coming just before the advent of, like, widespread internet use yeah. was wildly to its advantage.
Yes.
I think that when you... the book is called best movie year ever. Sure. It's about the movies of 1999, and Blair Witch is one of the first big ones.
Yeah.
Because it releases at Sundance Film Festival and then goes on to just, like, dominate horror for the rest of the year.
Yeah.
In the book, Brian Rafferty talks about how, like, people would go into the movie and just, like, legitimately thought it was real. Legitimately thought what was happening was real. They didn't have a context for really understanding that it was fake.
Right.
And I think that that fueled it in such a way. And I remember the big thing was they released a behind-the-scenes, documentary on MTV, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
And when they released it, they just played it as if it was, like, a real thing that had happened. And this they were, like, had talking heads from the town, like, being like, yeah, you know, like, the Blair Witch. And they were just, like, adding to the lore. And so people thought this was, like, a legitimate, like, snuff film
that
they were about to watch. And so, but you couldn't fact check that because the internet didn't have any information.
Yeah.
And the information you did have was from the Blair Witch website, which played it straight. So when people went to see that movie, they thought they were seeing a real, like, horror, murder, paranormal movie. So, yes, I would agree with you that we may not know how well it would have done. I think we can assume it would not have done as well. It may not have been, like, a culture-resetting look at horror, because it really did, like, shake up the horror community in a really big way.
No, absolutely. And, like, even when we were growing up, like, you know what I mean? Like things like Texas Chainsaw Massacre saying that it's based on a true story. Like, you couldn't really, like, fact check it the same way you could today.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Like, right, exactly.
You could just be like, Google, is it real? It's like, well, there's, like, some guy on, like, what's one of the BuzzFeed that's like, well, it's based on...
it's based on Ed Gein. Yeah.
Slightly.
Right, so. Exactly. Yeah, just having more access to the internet, I think, forces people to really get very weird with their stuff. Yeah. So that's why you have Skinamarink, going hyper-low budget, being extremely experimental, and essentially relying on a handful of very upsetting images that will skew you. And if you can sit in the silence of that movie, in the lack of communication that it's doing, that, I think, is how it gets unnerving, is that it's a movie that ultimately is just, like, ripping out anything that you can hold on to in normal conversation, right? Deadstream gives us a constant stream of information where we're constantly being entertained and in it, versus something that actively pulls that information away from you and leaves you in the dark. And I think that that's how it appealed to me. I think that's a good way of phrasing it, is that Deadstream appeals to me by giving me all the information and being, like, a joke a minute gore fest. Yep. Where Skinamarink appeals to me because it strips me of anything that I like to see in, like, basic human interaction.
Right.
And then it strips even further back from that by then just, like, showing me an array of seemingly random shots. And then when it is giving me the shots, they're upsetting. Like, and you didn't get to this part, but at the end of the movie, there's a point where you're like, oh, we're walking down a hallway with the camera. And then you realize the camera's on the ceiling. And it's, like, crawling towards, like, a door. But, like, the door frame ends. And you're like, oh, there's, like, a 4-inch gap there. That's weird. Why would they build a house like that? And you're like, oh, no, we're upside down. Like, something is crawling on the
cool
fucking
shot.
Ceiling.
And
so it's stuff like that. That I'm like, it's forcing you to put it together. That I think is really... really strong. And I think that's why somebody like the director of this movie, Kyle Edward Ball, he's somebody to watch because there's a uniqueness to what his vision is that even if he doesn't continue to work in found footage, that he could very easily transfer over to a more plot-heavy horror movie.
Yeah.
Because he simply has the visual eye for upsetting imagery.
Yeah. No, I agree. I mean, I definitely thought it was beautiful. I loved watching the scenes and the sounds that were there that were trying to evoke, like, emotional responses. It just couldn't do it. Couldn't do it. Brain couldn't do it.
That's okay. And I understand that, too, you know?
Yeah.
Like, there's some really just, like, interesting things going on in the movie, but I also don't blame anybody who struggles with this because this is, I think, a movie the more you know that it's experimental design, the better you're able to handle it.
Why do you think people are so upset about it? Like, I just don't understand why people are so, like, because I don't know, maybe I'm just comfortable with the way that my brain functions, and I'm just like, nah, that's going to be tough for me, and I'm okay with it. But, like, some people are, like, on the internet, like, or I'm, like, I've, like, follow, I'm, like, on Facebook groups of, like, Shudder, like, groups, you know what I mean? And, like, they are so angry that people like it, and I'm just like, I don't get that. I feel like I'm just interested to think what you think about that.
So I'm going to tell a quick story to kind of get to the point.
Okay.
I've watched Paranormal Activity. I watched it twice in theaters. Jeez. And then I saw it a third time with friends on a couch. Okay.
Okay.
So yeah. The first time I saw it was me and two friends. We were all the way in on the idea of it.
Yeah.
And it scared the living shit out of us.
Right.
And I like needed to like have a walk afterwards to like chill out so I could go to sleep.
Decompress.
Right? The second time I watched it was also in a theater, and I had a bunch of friends with me, and a couple of them started doing that thing where you like kind of mock the horror movie as it's happening. Right?
Yeah.
Where like people make like dumb jokes, like or dumb asides when something doesn't go right. But at the end of the movie, because we were trapped in the theater, when the final moments of Paranormal Activity hit, everyone was freaked out. But throughout the entire movie, there were people making jokes about it. And so it was less effective for me, but still was ended up being overall effective for the group. The final time I watched it, like in this like eight-month like window, I watched it in a hotel room with a bunch of people who did not give a shit about horror movies and started just cracking jokes at it. And if you, it goes back to the idea that if you are not bought in on a movie or its premise, especially horror movies, it's really easy to start picking them apart.
Yeah,
and
that's true.
And the moment you start picking it apart, it can unravel really fast. And that's the case with basically any horror movie.
Yeah, there's I would say almost any movie too, right?
Any movie in general, but I think horror movies in particular are easy to unravel because you know, you start doing the thing, don't go in there. Why are you going in there? This character is stupid. And I'm like, the movie has to happen.
Yeah, like, exactly.
Something has to occur, right? Like, if Texas Chainsaw Massacre was, that house looks weird, let's not go there, then drive away, then there's no fucking movie, right? Like, okay, you got me. Like, I 100% understand what you mean.
You know what? We shouldn't pick up that creepy hitchhiker.
Exactly, right? Like, if you have one person who is, like, as the audience, who, and that's the other thing, right? People like to think they're smarter than these movies sometimes, where, you know, oh, I wouldn't do that in that situation. Yeah, well, you also don't, as the character, doesn't know they're about to be in a fucking horror movie.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
in most cases, they're not aware unless it's Scream, and even then, the character says their shit glibly because they don't actually believe it until they're being stabbed.
Exactly.
I think that's the case with something like Skin and Rink. When you see a big outcry of positivity towards something, there is a cynicism in some people that ultimately they just don't necessarily want to connect with that thing. And at the same time, there's the expectation of hype that matters, right?
Yeah.
Like, if everybody's telling you this is the greatest movie, and you go and you watch it and you don't like it, then you're like, why would people lie to me about this, right? Not assuming that the taste is different for that person than it was for you.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you just think they're inherently wrong instead of examining, well, what was the situation that they watched this movie in versus how I watched this movie. So, like, for example, when I pushed for you to watch the movie, I watched it cold. All I knew is that there was this horror movie that was coming out that was, had gotten some traction on TikTok.
Right.
I hadn't seen a single frame of the movie.
Yeah.
And so I got excited for it and just watched it.
Like,
blind. Where by the time when you saw it, the hype had already been building, the movie had already been out, I had already told you that I loved it.
Yeah.
And so the way that you're watching it is different than the way that I watched it.
No, I agree. I wonder if I would have watched it blind, if it would have been more appealing to me. Because, like, I expected, like, a horror movie, you know what I mean? And I guess another thing about you and me is, like, we like movies that take shots and that are experimental. So even if I don't love it, I'm going to be like, okay, like, I dig that he tried to do something different.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
No, exactly. Like, the way that you're engaging with it is different than somebody else who went to go only get scared. Yeah. Where you're like, okay, well, this may not work for me, but I understand that it's a swing. Yeah, where exactly. This person is like, or the other people are like, no, I want to be scared and it didn't do the thing that I wanted to do.
Yeah.
But there's also something fair to be said, right? Yeah. Where some audience members have a limited amount of time to watch something. They don't have infinite, I mean, like, I watch a shit ton of movies.
Yeah.
Sometimes to the detriment of my other social activities. And so when I'm doing that, though, it also means that, you know, I'm investing my time in this thing and I'm willing to risk my time on that.
Right.
Other people may only be able to watch, you know, 10 movies a year and they were told this one was good, so they put it on.
Right.
And they instead wasted their time with it.
I could see that.
And so there's something about, like, well, shit, if I could have used the 2 hours, I could have just watched Top Gun instead, right?
Right. And yeah, so if you're going to watch Top Gun or get a Marine, great.
Yes. Those were your only two choices. But, you know, sometimes it's just like the cost-benefit for somebody may not be the same as it is for you and me. I can take a swing on something like this because I'm going to watch 100 other movies this year and I'm not going to even blink about it. Where that person may watch 10 movies this year and they wasted their time on one of their 10. And the percentage of how that affects their enjoyment of film or movies in general is far greater.
Yeah, that's interesting. Well, very cool economics of film watching, basically. Behavioral economics of film watching.
If you want to know why the Marvel movies and why sequels are dominating the box office to this day, it's for that reason, is that people do not go to the movies as much as they used to because tickets are more expensive. And so when you only have so many tickets, what are you going to go see? The big event movies?
Right.
Or the weird random movie about an Irish man cutting off his fingers and throwing them at a door?
Yeah, right.
That's okay. That's okay, though, because I also appreciate that your family is going to the movies every Tuesday and enjoying movies, right? Like, that's the ideal way to watch a movie. And sometimes shit's going to miss. Like, you know, not everything is going to be...
Yep.
Not everything's going to be everything everywhere all at once. And sometimes other things... Yeah, and sometimes other things are definitely going to be, like, really shitty movies.
Yeah. What I learned is, just like horror, there's a lot of shitty movies in every genre.
Yes, 100%. I think that's another thing, is, like, just like horror, and I think that there's a bar when you're a horror fan for what is, like, a shitty movie that a lot of people do not fully understand is, like, I think if you don't like the genre anyway, a shitty horror movie is, like, unbearable.
Yeah.
And I think if you love the genre, a shitty movie could be still be, like, a 2.5-star movie for you.
Yeah, exactly. You're like, okay, I get what they were going for. Like.
All right, so overall, what would you grade out Skidamarink?
I don't feel like it's fair for me to give it a grade.
It's reasonable. I appreciate that because, like you said, you didn't finish it.
Right.
Where let me double check what I ended up giving it. I mean, like, I know with Deadstream, I was really high on that one.
Right.
So I can give that one first. That one, I know it was a 4 out of 5 or like an 8 out of 10, however you want to frame that. Skidamarink, meanwhile, I gave it a 9 out of 10. So I'm really high on Skidamarink.
That's fascinating. So,
yeah. I mean, and just a couple other, like, small things that are starting to percolate in the horror community. So we're obviously mentioning Skidamarink and Deadstream on this episode. If you are in the mood for more found footage, obviously check out the VHS series, right?
Yep.
That is a killer group of movies.
Oh, yeah.
And they're shorts?
I'll give the first one is very good. The other two are okay. There's hits and misses, but 99 goes back to sort of the original, where almost every single one of them is pretty good. So.
Yeah, exactly. So on Shudder, there is a big, long documentary called The Found Footage Phenomenon that breaks down the, like, actual origins of found footage movies, like, all the way back to, like, Cannibal Holocaust and all those movies in the 80s and before that that are, like, absolutely vile before people put, like bumpers on this thing.
Yeah.
And it's a really great way of understanding how the phenomenon of this subgenre kind of evolved. And then already in 2023, in addition to Skidamarink, there was a movie called The Outwaters that released, and we may talk about it in the future. I don't know if we'll do, like, a whole episode on it, but it is very much upsetting end of the world shit with Lovecraftian monsters, but through a found footage lens. And I will give you a quick heads up. It has one of the most disgusting endings I've ever seen in a movie. So don't get me wrong. Like, we love found footage, but there's still a lot of found footage that's coming out even to this day. So just be aware, like, it is still, it's still coming. Like, even if you do not like what this movie did, there's going to be more of it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So with that, go ahead and make sure you reach out to us. Check out our website, sunshinestatecineplex.com. You can reach me at the Alan French on Twitter. Ryan, what's your Twitter handle again?
It's keepitspooky09.
All right, and you can also email me at alan.french@sunshinestatecineplex.com, or you can hit up bellalugosipod@gmail.com. Send us any of your questions, any potential suggestions for future episodes. We'd love to hear them. Yeah, so with that being said, we're going to go ahead and sign off for today, but get ready because we are also going to have our best of the year predictions, or a best of 2022 discussion very shortly. All right, guys, check it out. Keep it spooky.
Keep it spooky.